Today on Real Radio.
During the millennium, Jesus is so going to rejuvenate the environment that longevity is going to increase in the lives of those mortals that have lived into the kingdom. That's pretty cool. Longevity is going to increase. You're going to say, well, I don't believe it. Well, you know, read your Bible. When the environment was more pure, Noah and Enoch and others, Methuselah lived a long time. Scientists tell us this is true. Scientific evidence proves that this is a fact. You know, every 7 years, your body goes through a metabolic purging and tries to rejuvenate itself. Did you know your heart, when examined, has been a tool made that can beat forever? The tools of your body have been engineered to live forever. Death is a mystery. Until you read the Bible, it says death came into the world because man sinned.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always, my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. The studies we have heard most recently in this series deal with end times issues and events. Well, what we'll hear today is no exception. In fact, it is the final presentation in this entire series, the first part of which we heard on Friday's edition of Real Radio. Let's continue in this study called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ and His Millennial Rule. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
He's going to end this globe as we know it and bring in His eternal kingdom. Before that can happen, God's will shall reign upon the earth in righteousness. The word righteousness is an interesting word. It means to do correctly or to do rightly. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, it says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. The word righteousness here is the word to exercise absolute equity, both in character and in action. You know, that's what our court system's supposed to do now. Of course, that's what's supposed to mark every true Christian, you know, is that we walk in righteousness, that is doing the right thing. A simple way to remember the word or the meaning of the word righteousness is to do the right thing. If you do the right thing, you are walking in righteousness. Do the right thing. Well, who picks and chooses what the right thing is? God has already revealed that in the Bible. You do what the Bible says, you'll do fine and you'll be blessed so much that your friends are going to say, why are you blessed so much? And they're going to want to hear, as Tom was sharing earlier, about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Righteousness. Micah chapter 4, verse 7 tells us that the Lord will reign from Mount Zion, from there forever. Jesus Christ must reign from Jerusalem. He must reign from Zion. Why so? There must be the fulfillment of Revelation, jot it down, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Jesus must fulfill this prophetic command. Revelation 5:1, and I saw on the right hand of him who sat upon the throne a scroll written inside and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Those of you who are in real estate, listen, because this is a title deed and escrow requirements. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll, nor was anyone able to look upon it. So I wept much because of this. But one of the elders said to me, verse 5, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, that is the progeny of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals. The scroll is the title deed of the earth that Adam gave to Satan the day that they rebelled. Jesus not only first bought you spiritually and redeemed you with his blood, but he will also ultimately redeem the earth for his own glory. He's going to, so to speak, take it back. And those seven seals are seven requirements that Christ will accomplish in the prophetic scene. He will rule and reign in righteousness. The second thing that we see this morning is that he will reign in justice. Wow. He will be the perfect judge. The millennium will not be heaven. The millennium will be God's kingdom on earth. It's not heaven. Will there be sin during the millennium? Yes, absolutely. There'll be sin. There'll be mortal people living during that time. You might say, well, forget them. What about me? Well, I have to... No, you will be either... Well, first of all, I'm assuming this morning, if all of us are born-again Christians by the Spirit of God, you and I will have already been changed, raptured out of this planet, taken up into heaven, and we would have already come back with Christ in the second coming for this time to have happened regarding the millennium establishment of his kingdom. And you could read Revelation chapters 19 on to the close for that. But the fact of the matter is, he will rule and reign in justice. Why? Why does he have to do that? Because there'll be sinners on earth at that time. Just like there's sinners right now, like us. Will people love the Lord during that time? Yes, there will be many people who love the Lord at that time. There'll also be people who don't. Isn't that weird? Don't you think everybody would? If they could go to Jerusalem and see him, don't you think that they would automatically believe in him? Some people are maybe sitting here this morning, well, if God would just show his face, then I would believe. He is not going to do that. Just show me a sign, God. Show me a sign. He's not going to do that. Well, then I'm not going to believe. You got it all wrong, friend. Your wires are crossed. The moment you come to believe, then you'll see. Well, I believe seeing is then coming to believe. You're never going to be converted then. Because sight is hooked to our emotions. And our emotions deceive us. Even our sight can deceive us. When you come by faith, which is the way you must come, then God puts his Holy Spirit in you, and then you can see clearly. Don't ever put religion in front of relationship. If you do, you'll be the most religious person in hell. Relationship first. God didn't create us. Think. God didn't create us to exist in the garden for a religious experience, but for a relationship experience. And he will reign in justice. He'll know exactly what every motive is in the person's heart, why they did what they did, and he with us, we with him, will execute justice on earth. The Bible says that we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, that is, Zechariah 14, verse 16. Says, then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the king at Jerusalem, the Lord Almighty there, and to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord Almighty, they shall have no rain. During the millennium, another place in Scripture, the book of Isaiah tells us, if Egypt doesn't go and worship the Lord, then God's not going to put any rain upon Egypt. Boy, living in Southern California, you wonder, we're under judgment, but thank God. Wasn't this great this last weekend? Did you see about 2 or 3 days ago, did you see the 7-day forecast? You know, there used to be 5-day forecast, remember? Now it's 7-day forecast. Well, like that's hard here. It's going to be sunny. How about it's going to be sunny for the next several months? But oh, I love the curveball. You know, they told us on the 7-day forecast, there'll be a little fog in the morning. And then it rains cats and dogs. In fact, at my house, it hailed, and it hailed good. None of this on the news. So I couldn't wait to watch the news that night. And you see the guys coming on the news. Well, listen to this. Mother Nature sure pulled a quick one on us. Listen, all you tree huggers out there, there is no Mother Nature. She doesn't exist. She's not real. It's God who's in control. And he just did it. He did that just to let Johnny Mountain know who was really calling the shots. I love it. But he's going to rule and reign in justice. Well, I don't know if that's very fair. If he's going to cut off their water supply if they don't come and worship. Isn't that a little bit of a forced motive? Listen, God will rule and reign from Jerusalem and do as he pleases. It will all be done in righteousness. And sometimes we all need a little correction. We know, even though some of us have walked for God for years, we know that we need a little reminder from time to time to pray and to seek the Lord and to lean upon him, don't we? I said, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. I knew you were there. You thought you didn't need a reminder. He will reign in righteousness. He will reign in justice. And we know also he will reign in mercy. Now, you might say, well, how do those three come together? Righteousness, you know, sounds kind of strong, and it is. Justice, that sounds, you know, very, very judicial, and of course it is. That's where the word is rooted. God will exercise justice upon the or from the throne of Jerusalem. What about mercy? The Bible says throughout the Old Testament, he will rule and reign during this time in mercy. Now listen, this is important. Mercy, what do you mean mercy? Well, the word mercy means special kindness. Who in here does not want special kindness? I mean, we all want special kindness. It means a beauty bestowed upon, to be given, unwarranted favor. We might say today, teacher's pet. God says, you know what? My kids are all special to me. And I grant to them mercy. You might say, well, you know, I don't know about that. Well, I tell you what. Put it into modern setting. You're driving down the street, and you see a red light in your rearview mirror. Now, the book of Romans chapter 13 says that police officer has been installed to enforce the law for righteousness. And the righteous do not need to be afraid of the officer who does not, listen, bear his sword in vain. In our context, it would be badge or gun. God didn't give that officer a gun in vain. God gave that officer a gun to use. God gave that officer a badge to enforce the law. Now, we're driving down the street. Our rearview mirror lights up red. We pull over. Do we, when he comes up to our window, do we say, give me righteousness? Oh, no, you'd be stupid. Do we say, give me justice? What are you, nuts? You slither out of your car and kiss his feet or her feet and say, officer, mercy! Mercy, officer, please! You know, grown men have been known to cry at those moments. Mercy. Mercy. It implies that there's an axe ready to lay to the back of the neck, and God says, mercy. Is righteousness violated when mercy is enacted? No. Is justice violated when mercy is enacted? No. Mercy is a privilege and attribute of God. He extends mercy, and all of us would be dead now if it wasn't for the mercy of God. If you've ever been sick, there's good nurses, and then there's great nurses. And you know what makes the great nurse better than the good nurse? They both know the same thing. The great nurse is the one that comes and pets you on the head or strokes your hand or somehow does something about your pain. I don't want a nurse to come up and say, well, you know why you're in such pain? It's because you've got a foot, you know, and that's why. Well, thank you very much. I feel better now that I know this. No, I want a nurse to come up and say, listen, you're going to make it, buddy. In fact, you know what? And you know when you, just like a child, those of you who have young kids, when they stub their toe or get hurt, at least our pediatrician told us the right thing. You ought to try this. When your child is hurt, pick them up. Grab them, hold them, and take your fingernails and just scratch their back or rub their back or whatever it is. Even if they've got a boo-boo on their finger, scratch their back or rub their other arm. Give their senses a pleasant stimulant. It overrides or comforts the pain that they're focused on. Mercy. Give me that kind of a nurse, and I'll do better. Give me that kind of a doctor, and I'll get better probably quicker. God is into giving mercy. Why would you be such a fool as to reject God's mercy? He will execute justice on you. He will execute his righteousness on you. But he extends mercy, and mercy only comes through the person of Jesus Christ. God's mercy comes. Secondly, this morning we see that God's creation shall be healed. When Jesus Christ comes, and only when Jesus Christ comes, shall the creation be ultimately healed. Now, I don't want to derail you at all, but last week we talked about the second coming, and there is a deceptive act that Satan will do through the Antichrist, and there will be a temporary healing of nature. And all, isn't that something? Go figure. By the way, on my desk right now, I've got off of Yahoo, one of the websites, a company, ADS, Applied Digital Solutions, just purchased the patent. This is on the internet right now. This is not Christian material. Not Christian material. ADS just on December 15th acquired the patent rights for human implantable microchips for human tracking and for loss of humans and for medical records and also the implementation of electronic implantable devices in works of art or valuable pieces of property and animals. This is secular news. The Antichrist will deceive the world temporarily, but Jesus will come and he's going to implement a healing to the earth. Isaiah 65, verse 17. I know I'm going fast, but we got to go. Isaiah 65, 17 says, "Behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth, for the former will not come to mind, neither shall it be remembered. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in her people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in her no more. Never again will there be any infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. And he who dies at the age of 100 will be thought to be a youth." During the millennium, Jesus is so going to rejuvenate the environment that longevity is going to increase in the lives of those mortals that have lived into the kingdom. That's pretty cool. When somebody dies during the millennium at the age of 100, people are going to say, "What happened? Why did he die?" Longevity is going to increase. You're going to say, "Well, I don't believe it." Well, you know, read your Bible. When the environment was more pure, Noah and Enoch and others, Methuselah lived a long time. Scientists tell us this is true. Scientific evidence proves that this is a fact. You know, every 7 years your body goes through a metabolic purging and tries to rejuvenate itself. Did you know your heart, when examined, has been a tool made that can beat forever? The tools of your body have been engineered to live forever. Death is a mystery. Until you read the Bible, it says death came into the world because man sinned. During the millennium, men will live long periods of time before they die. And a person who dies at the age of 100 will be considered a person to be as one who dies in their youth today. Amazing. God will heal the earth. How so? He's going to restore the physical creation. Isaiah 55, 11, 12, and 13. "So shall my word go forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in that thing for which I have sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thorns coming up, cypress trees will arise. And instead of briars, there shall come up the myrtle tree." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that interesting? The millennium, when he comes, is going to be a wonderful restoration to the creation. Now look at this picture. Some of you recognize this, don't you? Mirror Lake, just north up here in Yosemite. It's a beautiful sight. You know what? According to the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah, this stinks. When the kingdom is established by Christ and his healing goes out to the environment, this is going to look probably like an alley. Look at this beautiful sight, and yet it's under the bondage of sin. Did you know that? The Bible says it's under the bondage of sin. Creation is, nature is. Well, consider this as well. Look at that image and listen to this verse, Zechariah 14, verse 8. "And in that day there shall be living waters that flow forth from Jerusalem, half of them toward the Mediterranean Sea, half of them toward the Dead Sea, both in summer and winter it will occur. And the Lord shall be king over all of the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one. His name is one. and the land shall be turned into a garden. This is Wyoming. This is the Great Falls there in the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone National Park. But just think about this for a moment. When Jesus Christ comes, it says that his foot is going to touch the Mount of Olives, and it's going to cleave northward and southward, leaving a great canyon. And a river is going to come out, and it's going to go out to the healing of the world. The Dead Sea is going to be healed, which is, you know why they call it the Dead Sea? It's 1,300 feet below sea level. Sometimes some of the hottest temperatures on earth are recorded there. Not only that, but it is the deadest of water. It's dead. It's sterilized. It's so salty. It's the most saline body of water on the face of the earth, more than Salt Lake and more than Salton Sea. God's going to give it life. Jesus is going to give it life. Zephaniah chapter 3. There's a book you haven't heard in a while. Zephaniah. You probably read that today in your devotions on your way to church, didn't you? Zephaniah 3:14 says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, and shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments, and he has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in the midst of you, and you shall see disaster no more." This is a beautiful, beautiful shot and testimony of God's restoration of what he's going to do. And he's going to do it from Jerusalem. Look with me again. Creation will be maintained by him personally. Yeah, maintained. How so? Just simply this. Ezekiel 47 tells us, verse 9, that swarms of living creatures will live wherever that river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ and His Millennial Rule. Now, what we heard today is part of the final presentation in this series, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ, and we'll hear its conclusion on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, you remember us telling you about Pastor Jack's participation in the recent Calvary Chapel Santa Barbara Prophecy Conference, wherein he was able to present some quite alarming information about the threat of radical Islam in America. The Islamic invasion, as it is often referred to, is not only in Western Europe, but it has now reached our soil and continues to spread coast to coast. In fact, some of the statistics that Pastor Jack presented are really quite disturbing, and it's time that we be informed about these issues. Well, what Pastor Jack presented is on one of two DVDs, the second of which presents Brigitte Gabriel, the well-known author of the book Because They Hate. Brigitte is a Lebanese Christian who herself is a survivor of Islamic terrorism. Now she appears on nationwide programs on radio and television. And she recently spoke here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, and what she presented is on DVD number 2. So here's our offer. For your gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you both DVDs on Islam in America. DVD number 1 features Pastor Jack, and DVD number 2 features Brigitte Gabriel. Now, here's how to get in touch. You can give us a call at 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Or you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Again, for your gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, that's realradioactive.org. If you'd like to write to us, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.